Fine, you'll remind me at the end.
Earth shattering.
It comes with a visual aid also. Anyway.
That Britain was leaving the Union?
I'm so happy about Brexit. I'm so happy about it. But it indicates a little bit that Trump might win.
Yeah.
It's the same factors, same forces.
All right, gentlemen, without further ado, the, Kayadua, the aura of the menorah is connected to Torah. But then again, obviously, what's obviously connected to Torah is, the Oron, which has the Luchas and has a Sefer Torah on it, which is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Right? Obviously. So there's like two different things that are connected Torah. That's the Bechina of the Oroin in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and there's the... You're way ahead of me. Right. So there's the... So that's what we want to discuss. We want to discuss that duality. Oron versus Menorah. Which Rav Tzvi already was machaven that it has to do, something. It is parallel to a certain difference between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh in a manner they're going to deal with. All right, interesting enough, the Gemara says in Brachas Daf Hei, Ve'et Nalchas Luchos Ha'Even, HaTorah VaHaMitzvah, Asher Kasavti Lo Rosa. So luchos are luchos kipshutam. Hatera is Torah shebichsav. The hamitzvah zu mishnah, which the Rambam paraphrases that to mean Torah shebaal peh in general, in the very very first line of his hakdama. So Torah is Torah shebichsav. Mitzvah is Torah shebaal peh. Right. Torah shebaal peh is called Torah per se, right? And mitzvah is mitzvah is Torah shebaal peh. So that Rambam goes even further when he paraphrases this Gemara, and he says, "Vinitztavinu lasos es hatera al pi a mitzvah." We were commanded to do the Torah al pi the mitzvah. I understand he's still working with the terms and the metaphor, but seemingly a nonsensical statement, right? That the Torah should be determined by the mitzvah, right? It's just saying, you have to go with the Torah Shebaal Peh. The Torah should be determined by the mitzvah. Right? Mitzvah is a tzivui that came from the Torah. The Torah is the legislative body. The mitzvah is the command that came from the Torah. And what I'm saying, you have to do the Torah al pi the mitzvah. Right? So saying the legislature should be al pi the commands that were issued. The Torah sends out mitzvahs to us. We have to make the Torah al pi the mitzvah. Needs a little bit of explaining. But this lemaaseh, what the Rambam is alluding to over there, is something which is just one out of two things that are very hard for any thinking person to understand. There's A, the principle of lo bashamayim hi, right? God's in heaven, right? And he's kivyochol in heaven, so to speak, right? B'derech mashal in heaven, and he told us what to do, right? And then when we interpret the Torah differently than him, right? And he's the boss, right? Like a famous story, that the Basco came out and said, Malachem etzel lozer b'ni, halacha k'moso b'chol makom. Amar Rishua raglav, lo bashamayim hi. Who's boss? Who is boss?
Morning Shabbos.
No, it's Gemara Bava Metzia. That's Perek Hazor.
By Hillel and Shammai.
Yes.
It's just a basko and says, Halach is
Karabi. Right. That's excellent, Shiloh. That's excellent.
But it's not a question, because over there, the Halach is Karabi.
So you asked the Tosis Kasha, and you answered Tosis Teretz. That's not, the Basco was backing up the Halacha, right? So therefore, it's just giving a chizuk to what the halacha would have been anyway, right? Because Achir Rav Matos, correct.
There was a question, maybe, you don't go after Rabban
because they're Mechadid Tvei. Right, right. So the Basco is backing up the Pasha de Svara. But when it's against the Svara, we're not going to be, right, correct. That's all Tesis right there. Right, correct.
And how does Loi Bashmai be what we said last week?
Explain your question.
So last week you said how it's like sort of like a...
It starts, there's different Torahs like coming different down from the gets to the bottom.
Right, oh, okay. So like now we're going to say this week...
opposite.
Well, no, we're not the opposite. we're going to add something to a very important message to what we said last week. All right, but this Lo Bashamayim, which is really what the Rambam is sort of alluding to, you have to make the Torah, refashion the Torah al pi the mitzvah. It's like you're reversing the cause and effect. Mitzvahs come from the Torah. The Torah gave you tzivuyim, but we make the Torah al pi the mitzvah. The Rambam is alluding to this, you know, idea of Lo Bashamayim, and Torah Shebaal Peh now is, you know, is koveya also over Torah Shebichsav. Right, the Torah Shebichsav said ayin tachas ayin, and the Torah Shebaal Peh said no way. It's money, right? And that's it. And you got to deal with that. That, you know, the Torah Shebaal Peh says money. There's a statement Chazal that halacha okefes es hamikra. Sometimes the halacha, the Torah Shebaal Peh, you know, bypasses a pasuk. You know, those, you know, simple reading of a pasuk. It's amazing. It's from the same category as the Lo Bashamayim issue, and how you get your head around it. Who's boss? I mean, we keep the Torah to do what God says. Now God says what He wants. So, Lo Bashamayim. Okay. Now, but there's something which also is a slightly different question, but it's also one of these questions that it's almost impossible to wrap your head around them, and that's the concept of Elu ve'elu divel kimchayim. Look, if it's kosher, it's not treif. And if it's treif, it's not kosher. So it's not even though halolu poislim v'alo machshirim, right? Halo v'oisrin, halo matir, elu v'elu divo kimchayim. How? Right? There's a chum of the chavos yor, I think stuff, simon kuftzari beis. And that chum is full of yush, you know, all the things that we don't understand in, you know, in the structure of Torah Shebaal Peh. And he says like this, you know, this Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim, this is what he writes. You know, I could live with it if it would be strictly a legal battle. You want to legislate this way, I want to legislate this way. So you're a good lawyer, you're a good lawmaker, I'm a good lawmaker. If it would be just that, I'd be quiet, you know. You know, I could suffer it. But since, we know Alpi Kabbalah, right, that, you know, our mitzvahs are perfectly parallel to the structure of reality. And therefore, when you do a mitzvah, you're mosif tikkunim, right? And you know, you're mosif chayil and koach in the sitra de kedusha, and you're pushing down the sitra, the achra, you know, when you do. And when you do aver, it's the other way around, you give koach the sitra achra, And you're being metame and being mechalo the sitra the kedusha. So he says, "Oh, once you tell me that, I don't get it anymore." Right? So the famous machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about saras erva, right? The co-wife of an erva, she chayiv nibum, she parted from nibum. Right? So Beis Shammai makes it a mitzvah, right? That you should, the saras erva should is chayiv nibum. Right, and if so, it's a big mitzvah. It's a big tikkun yibum kayadua, and everything that's moisif, you know, in the palmalia shomala. But according to Beis Hillel, it's a chi of koris. It's a chi of koris. No, so I'm going to ask you, right? How are the olamas wired up? Are they wired up that it's saras erva, you know, positively affects reality or negatively affects reality? Once you talk to me, this thing that, you know, mitzvahs aren't just an issue of law. That, you know, they have two great lawmakers that just
think that. Right? So the Torah itself tells you that we're giving authority to the Chacham to interpret the Torah according to the rules that they have. So once they interpret it, It becomes the Torah.
Right. So, but his kasha is like this. It's not just right. That's his kasha. Right? The kasha is asking. What he's asking from the mekubalim.
The question is,
what he's asking from the mekubalim.
But there's no question that once they pass in a certain way, the Torah agrees with it. The Torah agrees. There's no original intention. There are multiple intentions. It's however Chachamim in their wisdom they interpret it according to the rules that were given to them. No?
Right. You're on the right side, but let's first...
Needs more Hezbro.
But let's first build up the kasha. What he was going on with that bothers him, because... Once you tell me that, you know, the olam is so wired up that mitzvahs affects them positively and averus affect them negatively. So I'm going to ask you, listen, which way is the world wired up? Is it wired up that tzaras erva, you know, marrying a tzaras erva is a mitzvah of yibam? And if the world is affected positively, or is it wired up that tzaras erva, the way we pass like Beisel, is potter from yibam? And therefore, if you marry your tzachi of kares, because eshes ach shelo b'makom mitzvah, which way is the world wired up? Right, you know, he asked this question like in a parenthesis. You know, it's like one of those. The Chavos Yor. Listen, you know, if it would just be a legal, you know, just an issue of law, you're a great lawmaker, right? Two great, you know, legal experts, but now you say it's reality, so if it's square, it's not circle, if it's circle, it's not square.
That they affect reality, the Chacham always affect reality. Don't they have the commercials about. They pass in something about somebody in water and when they drown, so whatever they pass in.
Oh,
you know?
The psak influences the
physical world.
That's Hugh says that let oil burn makes this vinegar burn as well. Well, who's that? That was a.
Chanina.
Chanina Mendoza.
Right? Yeah, but that was more out of Koch of Emuna, but right. But, you know, the answer. Right.
Because
Moses
says, "I gave you a mouth, I
could
make you
talk." Right. Which is that? It's what we're talking about, Torah Shabbat. Right. But that's the point that we're getting to is like there's a very interesting medrash in this week's parsha. Yeah, amongst the many medrashim that are fascinated by the fact that we have the mitzvah of lighting the menorah for our Kodesh Baruch Hu. And they're fascinated more by the menorah than the fact that we give karbonis to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We do anything for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need those things just as much as he doesn't need light. Right? He doesn't need anything. Right? So Medrash is amazing that we are Meir L'Misha, Meir L'Kol Olam Kulo. Medrash goes nuts about that. No, the Medrash is not bad about it, but you also give a carbon to a man who created all the animals. And a man who doesn't, you know, not a man, I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't, who created everything and doesn't eat and has no needs. But for some reason, the Medrash is more nispoil from the menorah, more than any other avodah we do for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We give light to He who created light. Amazing, right?
But
then
it's
right.
More
livable.
It just wants your heart. Wants to show love. The light. He doesn't need light. What are you giving him light for?
Physical.
No. He doesn't need it like he doesn't need anything else. But if what is like this, you know, the part of what the Medrash is amazed about is that going back to this Inyan, because the light of the menorah represents Torah. We're giving Torah to God. God, the Torah is His orders, executive orders to us. We should just shut up and do as we're told. And now we're, as we're producers, and we're involved in this light, right? And that's the Pella. Right? The Indian of, you know, that we make Torah. You know, ever since Matan Torah, it's like, so like, who's boss here? Right? It's his Torah, right? And like we said, you know, the reality of the Torah is going to be lefi the way the Chachamim understand. That's really the amazing thing, that we're giving light to He who created light. That's very, paraphrasing. No, say it in other words, we're giving Torah to the man who wrote Torah. Like he's the author of the book, and we're going to tell him what he meant. That's really the Indian. So amongst the many Mishalim, so that's really what's moving Chazal, and they have many Midrashim trying to, you know, different, how to understand, you know, we give light to he who doesn't, you know, who created light in the first place. So, and each medrash has a different mashal on it, and I guess there's a message in each and every one. I'm concerned when I would like to discuss one of the many. So one of the midrashim says as follows: Mashal ma'davar dome. You have a sighted man and a blind man walking down the street. The sighted man is leading the blind man, right? And then they come into the house, you know, where the blind man's familiar, knows where everything is because he lives there. So the sighted man now says to the blind man, "I want you to light a candle for me." So he's like, "What? You know, you're the one that takes care of me. You're the one who walks me in the streets and crosses me the road and tells me when the cars are coming. You know, you don't need me, right? So even though it's my house, I know where everything is, you know, but you could find the candle and the match a lot quicker than, right?" So the sighted man says, "Nonetheless, shelo tachzik li teiva. You shouldn't feel so indebted to me. You should feel like you're giving back." So also, says the Medrash, the sighted man is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shenemar Enei Hashem Mishotos B'chol Haaretz. God sees everything. Right? And the blind man is Klal Yisrael. All right? Shenemar, right? It brings Pesukim in Navi that we're Megashesh K'ivrim Ba'afela. I guess, especially when they're bad. They're groping around the darkness like, you know, referring to their, you know, their evil ways or their confused ways. As it brings something about that, and the sighted man leads the blind man. That's Vashem Holech Lifnem Yomam Ba, you know, Bamud Anan Balaila Bamud Esh. Of course, we're leading us in the desert with Yamud Anan Yamud Esh. But then we come home. Come home is the Mishkan, right? And here, Akash Baruch Hu says, "Light the candle for me, the menorah."
This has a end on
the Mishkan, right? Right. Get home. Light the candle for me. So, the amazing thing over here, that I take a look at the amkus of this medrash, aside from, you know, the chitzonius of it, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give us the opportunity to give back, which, by the way, that's a common thread in all the different mishalim that the medrash brings. But I want to start on this one that likened us to a blind person. A blind person lighting a candle. It's an amazing thing over here. That means that when we produce our Chidushei Torah, we are totally oblivious to what we're really doing. The blind man doesn't see the candle that he's lighting. He's producing that light. The sighted man appreciates what the blind man is doing more than the blind man. I know that, but I'm giving light. But really what he's doing is a lot bigger than what he could imagine. He's blind. He doesn't see what he's doing. We have to understand, you know, it's an amazing thing, right? Torah is a lot bigger than what we can see. You know, the Torah is a lot bigger than our Havana in Torah. And even after your Harv over Sugi, you come up with a Chiddush, that's like the blind, so as the matter of saying, it's like the blind man who lit a candle, he can't even appreciate what he really did. He has some understanding. That means that the whole process is a lot bigger than us. There's a lot more going on than what we realize, right? And our perceptions of the Torah are just a mashu of what's really going on. Yeah. So now the Torah that's in the, you know, in the Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Luchas that's in the Orom. So you know that that's not man's space at all. It's called Kodesh HaKadoshim because man can't go in there. Only once here Aaron goes in, and Chazal asks in a few places. So it says, "Al yava b'chol eis al haKodesh." No, never, right? So no, Aaron on Yom Kippur is not b'madregas Adam at all. It's b'madregas Malach kayadua. So it means no man ever really goes in there, because even the Kohen Gadol goes in Yom Kippur is not b'madregas Adam, right?
That's why he has to put a tenai on divorce with his wife. The whole thing couldn't
put it
in Yuma.
Yuma, the first
Mishnah.
Right, so
they
make
the perm, the whole
knife,
I come back.
No, so the, come back. No, yeah, that's why a lot of them drop dead over there. This
it's
is really.
It's a string. You've got to do it. It's a string to pull it up.
Right.
Well, you have a second wife.
Second wife, right.
just in case his wife would die because of chiper ba'ado ba'beso.
If the right. person's going to die, because everybody dies. Everybody in this world dies. Okay, therefore, the shash is there.
No, so we don't pass it away. Cause
we don't pass it that way?
That he has a second wife.
No. But he has to set it up. But it's not, no?
No, but maybe, no, maybe he's a, you know, a Yemenite. He has three wives.
Good, sir.
He's now allowed to have two wives. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's not allowed
to have two wives.
That's
a
looky
bad
guy.
The
Gemara
says that he can't have two wives.
I don't know all the halachas, but
he
definitely.
The one has to go. He has to do one
that's
right.
And then
I forgot.
So,
if she dies,
yeah,
she
loses
his wife.
Says, okay, so
I
get to the point over here.
He goes with all the other.
Right. Right.
Comes from the body of Allah. No, this is also because he's allowed to marry two wives. He's not allowed to have two at the same time.
Yeah, so it's just another. Yeah, it's another one just in case. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, but so in the it's off limits to man. But not only that, if you would go there, you'd freak. You know, you can understand why you drop dead, because Chazal tell us. You would see an amazing thing. It wasn't physically possible for the Aron to fit into the Kodesh HaKadoshim unless you discount and say that the Aron itself didn't take up space. Ha'aron eino min hamida. Right? Right? You know, it wasn't within space. It wasn't within space. And of course, similar to that, Chazal tell us, Ha'aron no se es no sub. You think you're carrying the Aron carried the people who seemingly carry it. Showing like this, showing that, you know, the Torah in Shorshon is way above, you know, time and space, you know, and where the human mind reaches, right? You know, you don't carry the Aron carries you. There's nothing you could contribute to such a high level. Right? Now, this is the Inyan, Kishenichsu Yevonim Lahechel. The Yevonim, when they ransacked the Beis HaMikdash. So it said, the Loshen Thra Chazal, Nichnasu Lahechel. Why did they go to the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Now, they stopped at the Hechel.
Now, would
they try? Amazing thing, it was invisible to them. Invisible.
Didn't they still teach us the
parochas?
Parochas from the
other
side.
Yeah. Right. Say the parochas, but Yevonim, they reached the Hechel. They didn't make it to the Kodesh HaKadosh.
Is that because Kodesh HaKadosh was a totally different dimension?
Something like that. It's like something invisible to them. And of course, the Pach Shemen, the Meraks Pachemen, was Munach Bechosam Moshel Kohen Godol, who does go, Lifnai V'Lifnim. That the Maharal says that the Pach Shemen that they missed had the power of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's the idea that had the Chosam of the Kohen Gadol who goes in Kodesh HaKadoshim. Right. So the Kodesh HaKadoshim refers to the Torah in its Shoresh. Right. Way above, you know, where the human mind reaches. Way above. Right. Way above what the man could get his head around. And it's outside of time and space. Right? So in the second bias, they didn't have the Aron, but they had the Even Shesia, Shemisham Hushasa Olam. The Even Shesia is where the whole world branched out from. That means that one place is above space, because that's where space came from. Right? So Mimela, like this Torah itself, that's from such a high place, above space. So there's no problem. You can't ask, well, is it, if it's square, it's not a circle. If it's circle, it's not a square. Right? Because this thing is outside of space. It's bigger. Right? That's like, you know, one side is in the Slavish in Mokom. So you ask, well, is it here or is it there? Is it round or is it square? Ha'aron eino min amida. It's not in space. Right? So Torah, you know, Torah could be, have in it, multiple meanings, and they're all true. And for us, they might seem mutually exclusive because we're in space. So when these things branch down into space, so one's square, the other one's circle. If it's square, it's not square, it's not square. One's here, one's there. If it's here, it's not there. If it's there, it's not here, right? But that's mitzidenu, right? But Torah is above space. So something's not in midah, it could be square and circle at the same time. We can't get our heads around it because once it's this slavish in space, it's going to splinter into a Beis Shammai and a Beis Hillel. But the Torah itself is eino min amida, right? It's above space. So both possibilities are true. And really, that's the real answer to the Chavos Yoyer's Kasha, right? Reality that comes from the Torah is really bigger than our minds. This is our perception of reality. Reality is really bigger than what we get our head around. Right? So now we have, and this Marashiva Zichron Vrach used to say regarding the machloksin between the Zohar and the Gemara. So he used to say like this, the Tanoim of the Gemara, Tanoim and Amoraim, had their own Shita and Nister. How to explain? The Olam is based on their Shita and Nigla. We were only Zoche to the Zohar of Shirin Bar Yochai. So Shirin Bar Yochai is a day, he's Tana Vipolik, right? All the Tanoim had a way of explaining their Shitas Alpi Nister, just we weren't Zoche to their Chiburim, Binyani Nister, we're only Zoche to the Chibur of Shirin Bar Yochai, right? But he touched up everything Lefi Shita. There's a way to look at the Olam from a whole different perspective. But the Ramchal writes this, the Olamas Betzim don't look like anything. So that's what we talk about in Ari, Igulim, Yoisher. That's all by our perception, by our perspective. Reality is bigger than that. Because reality comes from the Torah. The Torah is also bigger than that. Right? And this could also explain that science has changed from generation to generation. Not only that, now it's changing from year to year. What a doctor said was healthy last year, right? This year's not. It's not changing. It's going crazy.
Nutrition was never a science.
What?
Nutrition was never a science.
Medications. No, I heard my doctor being a few years later because it's what they used to say. Now they're chaser b'hem. So it's a very interesting question. It's a very interesting question over here. So for we said what they used to do years ago with the benkis and those sucking cups and those leeches, were they mamash killing their own kids? I'm asking, which I would consider that crazy. That's not even being a witch.
We're probably killing our own kids by putting all these toxic chemicals that go into your body. That one day you'll have to medicate that on top of more medication.
So
Savage claims
they just killed
the
kids with the
Ritalin. Yeah,
turn them into liberals.
That's right.
Yeah. So
it's a
liberal
film. Yeah. It makes you dumb, makes you a liberal.
Amen to that.
So a very serious question, right? They weren't stupid people, and some of these things were in practice for hundreds of years until they decided, it's all wrong. So here's a possibility. Who says it's wrong? Reality is a lot bigger than the mind. And, this was how they made Seder out of reality. They superimposed this model. And it worked, right? Worked for them. So now we could argue, whether it worked for them because of the placebo effect, that if you believe something works, it mamish heals you, and it works the other way. If you believe something is unhealthy...
It was empirical. It was based on what they experienced. It worked. Apparently it worked. See, the Gemara has all these medical solutions.
So now... I'm not discounting the possibility that there was the placebo and there's the opposite, what they call the nocebo. It could be that just because they believed in it, that alone made it work. But it could be reality is just a lot bigger than the human mind. And it did work. But just now we have the perception of reality changed, and we just can't imagine that working. And Mimela doesn't work because you don't believe in it. Right? But maybe it does. Reality is bigger. You know, the mind is just trying to make Seder out of what's going on around you, and maybe the Seder that it's making is totally wrong. Or maybe it's right, but each different Seder is one snapshot of the truth. And the truth is all those different perspectives together. At least by Torah, at least by Torah.
We pass in one way, though.
We say El Vel Divro Kim Chai. We say.
But once we pass in, why doesn't that take away from, if the psak is.
So that's the halacha for that door. No, so that's your main thing. So that's really what goes on. The halacha changed from door to door. You know, back in the days when there was a Beis HaNagodo, later Beis HaNagodo could overturn the ruling of an earlier Beis HaNagodo, and Paskin Tzara Serva, like Beis Shammai, Tzara Serva, Schaiv, and Yibo.
But they're both possibilities, as we say.
What?
They're both possibilities that are true.
That's right. Reality is bigger than what you could imagine.
It's interesting that you say that, because in the scientific world, once they decide on something that's better, they go around and say that the people that came before them don't know what the heck they're talking about.
I'm saying,
Torah, so they all have a different way of seeing it.
I heard an interview from a scientist who was arguing this exact argument, but he's a big scientist. So he says Ptolemy wasn't wrong, and Copernicus wasn't wrong. Ptolemy was doing it based on what he saw, and according to the way he saw it, the sun goes around the earth, which that's the physics, and all the rules that were developed based on that worked. So it was true. It's true that it, because that was our perception, isn't it? And Copernicus was right also, because from another point of view, it depends on, he just says there's no real truth to any of this. And he kept arguing this, and I was listening, like, it's true. If you have a set of rules that work, and that's your perception.
It's right.
It, from your perception, the sun is going around there. And if I could set up a set of rules, they all work. Now, when you come to a point where it just stops working for you, then you have to readjust your thinking. Because now you have to come up with another set of rules to answer other questions.
Correct.
You know, but they didn't have those questions. It worked for them all along. As science advanced,
for a long
they
time.
Had to develop a new perception of it. And these new rules would work.
Could this be applied to like other things? For example, Discovery of America. So, many things in America existed until it became realistic.
What?
Until they actually went out on a boat and found it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it was
maybe it's like a, it was almost like a new creation in a way. Is that what I have to say?
Your waters are
deep stuff. Deep stuff.
This one did better than the other.
Oh, yeah.
Sweet's going to want to take the recipes. But yeah, this miracle waters. Miracle water.
I like it with either cucumber in there or a lemon in there. I like it pure. I like it.
Right.
No blended.
Straight.
Right.
Single. Single.
Yeah,
single. All right. So look, we could speculate about science. Maybe all the different perspectives are equally correct, right? Just, you know, it wasn't matin to the day of a particular door, you know, but maybe all the perspective, maybe reality is the sum total. Reality is bigger than the mind. It's probably the sum total of all the, could be either like none of them or like all of them together. At least by Torah, we could be sure like this, that if we're going to learn Torah with the Gidrei Talmud Torah, we'll stick to the rules of the Midah Shatan Drashbam and all the other proper ways of how Torah is to be learned. Every single perception is true. The Torah is actually bigger and koil all those different perceptions, because the Torah B'Shorsha is above space, so there's no question whether it's square or circle. The problem is when it comes down to the Olam of Maisa. And that's why, even though El Vel Divro Kim Chaim, we still have to choose, the halacha has to be only one way. The Beis Nagro has to be machriya like one way, and you're not allowed to paskin the other way once the Beis Nagro of that door.
That's right.
Because just like Torah is that way, so also reality that comes from Torah, it's bigger than your perception. And when you're paskining a certain way, of course it's natural to touch up al pi pshat and al pi sod l'fi that perception. But reality is bigger than that perception. Right? But our chelik in reality is what we see. But that much that we see in this medrash we call it, still called blindness. You don't even appreciate what you're doing. And when we produce Chidushei Torah, so everyone goes, hi, we're telling God what is Torah saying. You don't even know what you did. That Chiddush that you said, you know, is bigger than you realize. And that's what it means. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets such simcha from Pilpul Shel Torah. Like, how can he get simcha from, you know, what our limited minds do? You don't. The answer is, when we're Amel and Torah, we produce Chiddush Torah, the process is a lot bigger than us and a lot bigger than we realize. Right? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah with a cheshbon that we're going to produce those Chiddushei Torah. Right? And those Chiddushei Torah, you know, do cosmic good even more than what we could realize. Right? So, you know, so even if it's technically against what a Bas Kol says, right? But the Torah itself is bigger than the Bas Kol and your Deya, right? And the halacha is like your Deya, because lo b'shamayim hi, right? Just like the halacha is like the rabbim over the yochid or the miut, right? Even though the miut's not stupid, right? And the Torah is kolo all those days, right? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah that we, right, should bring out what we bring out. And what we bring out is even bigger than what we realize. Your chidushim are bigger than what you realize. You're lighting that kind of still called the blind man lighting the candle. That chiddush you produced, and you think you could see. That's still the blind man lighting the candle. Right. And that's what it is. So the Kodesh HaKodeshim represents the Torah B'Shorsha. And the Torah Shebichsav is reminiscent of that. That there's really nothing we could do with the Torah Shebichsav, because we can't change the text. All the parshanut, all the pirushim, that's Torah Shebaal Peh. Right? The aspect of Torah that we see is the menorah. The menorah is in the Heichal. What?
You give a sighted person light.
Right.
So you gave him something that he appreciates. But you can't give God anything that he doesn't know. He knows these things before.
Yes. So it's not, you're not Mechadish Yediyah. But he gets Nachas because this is the cosmic work that he wants done. I mean, this is because when we bring out these Chiddushei Torah, there's certain tikkun made. Of course he's aware of it, but he gave the Torah to us that when we have the Torah in our hands, we reveal it within this dark realm. We light a candle, meaning we dispel the darkness of Chomrius, the darkness of Olam Hazeh. That's why he put the Torah on earth, that we should work with it. It's called lighting a candle. You need a candle to get rid of darkness. Shraga B'tira Mayahanya. Right? We do the tikkun of bringing light to darkness when the Torah is funneled through us. If the Torah would stay in Shemayim, it would stay in Shemayim. It wouldn't light up this physical world that the Torah came down to here to illuminate the physical world. We do that. And this illuminating of the physical world is much bigger than what we realize. It's called the blind man lighting the candle. So he works, you heard over this chiddush. You should know what's behind that chiddush is much bigger than what you realize. We're in over our heads. So it's like the mashal with the blind man. A blind man has to be very careful when playing with fire. He doesn't see. And that's also when we handle with the Torah, to make sure to do it only strictly with the strict Gidrei Talmud Torah, with the Mishnah Torah Jaspam, you know, and to create, but create within the guidelines. And that's what it means, Lahagid Shvach HaShar and Shloshina. Because the Torah Shebaal Peh represents our creating Chiddushei Torah, but Lahagid Shvach Shloshina. So even though it's creating, you know, giving light back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? But you must not do it outside of the rules, because, you know, you're a blind man handling fire, right? So that's what the Gidrei Talmud Torah are, but through that we're zochet to, you know, make tikkunim that are way beyond what we understand, and therefore all the kashas are batal. The kash of Lobah Shemayim is batal. The kash of Veil Dergai is batal. The Torah is much bigger than our perception. And the Torah is koilo all the different deis, even deis that by our perception are mutually exclusive, right? And everyone is given his unique dea to reveal his unique chelek, and the Torah itself is a composite of all those different views, right? All those different views and more is what we wanted to say.
So it's